Hey everyone, welcome to Chris. My name is Chris, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Watchmen, the HBO series of Watchmen, not the graphic novel, not the movie, but man, this is one that's kind of hard for me to discuss. A bit of a backstory behind it. I'm a fan, I think, as most people are or would be if they had encountered or read it, of the graphic novel Watchmen. When it came out in the 80s, it really was a shock because for so many years, decades at that point, superheroes had been super, right? They were these untouchable, godlike figures. They were everything that we wanted to be, idealistic. You wanted to root for them. Maybe the darkest that you had was Batman in a lot of respects, but even he, for a lot of his characterization, was lighter in terms of, or brighter in terms of his character. It wasn't until really as 70s, 80s that Batman went heavier and darker, and till we got what we got in the 90s and so on, where he has that bleaker aesthetic about him. But Watchmen, when it came out, was such a counter to that attitude. It was one of the first projects to really hit the mainstream to deconstruct superheroes and to present them in a less than heroic light, where they had this aura of being something special, but behind the scenes, they looked much worse. They were just ugly people, like ugly people that indulged in violence, indulged in all of their worst aspects of their psyche, and exploring that contrast was something that made what's-his-face, as I just look off camera for the original writer of Watchmen, Alan Moore. So sorry, Alan Moore. You're sitting there screaming, Alan Moore, you idiot, Alan Moore. So that book was famous for a number of years before the Watchmen movie came out. And the Watchmen movie got a lot of mixed reviews at the time, too. But for me, I was somebody that was really wanting to see a darker take on superheroes. I didn't know that the graphic novel existed at that point. I just knew that we had gotten the Spider-Man movies and the X-Men movies and even the Batman movies, while darker, had taken a, not twist towards the lighter, but I just wanted something that had a bit more heft and weirdness about it. So when we got, and a bit more cinematic in some ways. So when we got the Watchmen movie, I was all about it. The first fight scene with the comedian was so cool to me. I was just like, this is what superheroes should be. So I was pretty excited for the Watchmen HBO show. And Lindelof, this is the other part of the backstory. I have a weird relationship with Damon Lindelof. You know, he's worked on a number of properties over the years, one of them being, bringing this up, let's just look at his history here, shall we? We got Lindelof as a writer. His big break, Crossing Jordan, was a show that he was on, but Lost. Lost was the thing that really brought him into the mainstream. And I had such a love-hate relationship with Lost, not to get into it now, but I was watching from the first episode when it premiered, and I was so hooked on that show week by week. It was legitimately painful to have to wait another week to find out what all of it meant, what was going on. And it was even worse when the show would take breaks in the middle of the season, and then the wait between seasons. Awful. I just wanted to know what was happening. So when the show was supposed to be 3 seasons and then 5 seasons and then 7 seasons, I was getting angrier and angrier that it was legitimately going to take years for me to know what happened and why it was happening. And as that all unfolded, I realized that they probably didn't know what they were doing a lot of the time. I started disagreeing with the decision making and realizing that while they had a lot of hooks and mystery elements up front that were really cool and engaging, they had no idea what to do with those elements and how to resolve them and bring them home. That was the complaint that I had in the Star Trek movies. Not so much the first one, which Lindelof didn't really write, but He helped work on the second one, Star Trek Into Darkness, did rewrites on that. That was another one that relied on this mystery of who is this character, and did it feel like it really resolved in a way that I thought was satisfying. Cowboys and Aliens was another one. Mystery elements. This guy wakes up and he has this strange contraption on his arm that's alien technology and can do all this cool shit. What's the reveal? How did he get it? And the backstory is just, he's kidnapped by aliens and they put the tech on his arm and he escapes. Why do you have to make a big mystery out of that and hide it? Like, that's going to be shocking. It's not shocking. There's nothing shocking about that. It's exactly what you would expect it to be. So just show us that up front and don't make a big to-do about it. It really upsets me. And then you have Prometheus with Prometheus being the main thing that I took a lot of umbrage with. It was another opportunity where Lindelof had all this mystery, all this grandness up front, and had no fucking idea how to resolve it. How he brought things home, how he sought closure was lacking for what he set up. It always struck me as hollow, superficial, less than the sum of its parts, which was completely disappointing. And then Leftovers. He makes Leftovers for HBO. I hear great things about it for years and I reject them because fuck this guy. And then I finally watched it and blew my mind. Amazing. It was all the mystery finally done well. It took things to levels that I didn't know a show could go to. There's some episodes in that show that I legitimately think are some of the greatest episodes in television. And the conclusion is satisfying. It's fucking satisfying. So coming off of that, I thought maybe Lindelof had finally learned how to do all this. He had enough near successes that he finally realized what was wrong in those processes and had figured it out with Leftovers, and the team that was with him on Leftovers had kind of course corrected enough to get him over the finish line. And so that's my thinking when Watchmen starts. I always criticize this guy. Now I'm invested in this guy. He's gonna kill it. And I gotta say, the first handful of episodes, I really thought, I was texting friends like, this is the greatest single season of TV ever. Ever. Like, maybe other shows are better on the whole because they have more to do and more to build on. But if we're just looking at a show that's a single season, tells its story, this is it. This dude fucking killed it. He gets it. This is amazing. And I felt that way, I think, 1 through 6. Of the 9 episodes, those first 6 episodes really had me in that spot, with each week it getting better. The cinematography was great, the acting was great, the pacing and the tone, how he was weaving things in and out of the past, the world building that was going on. And yes, it was far different from Watchmen the book, right? Not a lot of overlap, but enough with Ozymandias, enough with what's her face? Oh God, you think I'd have the characters right here, and I do. I just can't find her name. Laurie Blake, Silk Spectre, with her coming back in, and of course all of us waiting for Dr. Manhattan to show up. And I was so gung-ho about this, and seriously thought, like, there were episodes, especially with the subplot with Ozymandias and the weird world he was in, I was into that all the time. The cinematography was some of the best cinematography I've seen in a TV show. The way that he would use graphic matches, just the framing for mise-en-scene, and to have subtextual elements in it, the way that you would expect from movies. It's the most cinematic TV show I maybe had ever seen. So I'm nerding out about this week by week by week. And the Fear of Lightning episode, I thought, was really a standout. The one about Wade and his backstory and how he deals with his PTSD. The fact that in the graphic novel you have the squid, and in the movie you don't, because the movie thought it might be too hard or weird to have people get that there's this giant squid that comes. And maybe they thought it was more societally poignant to just have it be a bomb, given the history of America and the world at this point, post-World War II. I could see that, but they even brought in the squid in the Watchmen show and made it terrifying, made it work. That's amazing. Like, props again and again and again. And then everything went off the rails for me. The show took a decided turn towards nonsense after... I even liked an almost religious awe. So I think the first 7 episodes, I was all about it until we start getting into the last 2. Because even with the appearance of Dr. Manhattan finally, I don't know what I was hoping for, but... the episode itself, I don't really have that many complaints about. How it showed his relationship with time, cool, fascinating. They really understood, I think, his mindset and his vicarious, not his vicarious experience, but his actual experiences with time, and were able to display them in a way that helped us vicariously get a sense of his feelings of time. It was a tricky episode to create, and I think that they really nailed it, but I kept having this sense of dread as I was watching it, thinking, oh, there's only one episode left and we have all this shit hanging over us, all these plot points that haven't been resolved, all this characterization that hasn't been resolved. For example, we hadn't seen Wade since episode 5 or 6. Like, he hasn't been there at all. He was one of the main characters. You know, Lori kind of got taken away for a little bit and we didn't know what was going to happen with her and the cavalry. There were aspects to what was going on with Angela Abar and the backstory she had with her grandpa that we still didn't know about. Same with Lady True and same with Ozymandias. There just felt like there was so much set up and now we have so little time. And that this episode is only focusing on Dr. Manhattan, which is cool, but he's another element that we have so little time left. How are we going to resolve this in a satisfying way? And that's where I thought the show failed. I just didn't think how they brought everything together was done in a way that was worthy of the setup. There was so much scope and scale, and I'll explain, of course, but there was so much scope and scale in the setup. We're being introduced to this world of Oklahoma where this horrible thing had happened, and we're seeing the aftermath of that. And plus, while that historical slaughter had happened through the racists, now we have a revival of them and these attacks on the police force. Okay, this is big stuff. We're starting here, but where are we going to get to? And you bring in Ozymandias on another world, like Manhattan's creating worlds. Lady True has science that is outstanding, changing the course of human existence and human nature. All incredible things. But the show, just as broad as it started and as much as it built up immediately, it just starts to fold in on itself and get smaller and smaller and smaller. Until we don't know any of the ramifications of the story on the rest of the world, right? Lady True was one of the leading scientists and creators in the world. And then in the last show, she just gets brutally murdered because she ends up being a sociopath. That's fine. Brutally murder her, make her a sociopath. But what's the fallout? What are the ramifications of that? Same thing with Ozymandias coming back and finally being arrested. Okay, great. This guy that got away with it is now going to face justice. But what are the ramifications of that? Like, not just in Oklahoma, but in the world. This is a huge deal. The choice Ozymandias made in the original Watchmen story shaped humanity for decades because of the story that he told them. And now it's coming out that that story is a complete and utter lie. How do people react to that? What's the world's response to that? That's incredible. And same thing with the cavalry. The people in the cavalry were some of the most powerful people in America. Their wealth, their political connections, some of them were politicians. And now they're wiped out by Lady True, just murdered. So now you not only have something that's changing our very concept of the history of this world, as in Ozymandias's actions and the story he told, also the future of the world in terms of Lady True and all the projects she was running and developing, which were all, from the sound of it, humanitarian in nature. And then you have the political aspect of all these people being slaughtered and what that means as well when it comes out that there was a secret racist cabal and part of the American elites and they had political office. What does that change? These are huge paradigm-shifting questions, and they don't get a shred of consideration or discussion on the show. The show remains incredibly small despite setting up these huge stakes, and I think that that's awful. I really think that that's awful. It's cheap to me to avoid talking about those things. And maybe you can get away with it. You can say that this is a character study and we're just focused on these characters. You have bigger ramifications on the outside of it. And I think about Lindelof's buddy, Bad Robot did the movie, Cloverfield. And Cloverfield is a movie that has a huge concept but stays relatively refined, right? Or zoomed in. So a monster arrives in New York City, this huge monster, and starts destroying the city. You know, we have the handheld first-person camera, found footage-style movie that just stays focused on the people with the camera. So you don't get a lot of the larger talking points like, oh my God, what is the political response to this? What is the world response? Even then, though, you have moments where the characters will see snippets of stuff on the news, or they'll talk with other people that give context about what's going on. You see the military mounting a response to this thing. There's one amazing scene where the characters are running and they feel like it might be quiet for a moment, and they look up and there's stealth bombers traveling overhead. And stealth bombers are such a thing that you see pictures of, but you never think you're going to see in person because they're the highest, highest class of plane in the US military, used only for serious, serious shit. So the fact that these stealth bombers are coming into the equation just adds this sense of, oh, this is a huge deal. I think you could do it that way, but there's nothing like this that takes place. There's none of that broader perspective brought in, even in the smallest possible ways. And I think that's where I take issue. I know there were people saying that this Watchmen didn't capture the tone of the original Watchmen, or that this Watchmen did capture the tone of the original. I think that it did in some ways, but it missed out on the larger points, where when we get to the end of the Watchmen, the real question is, who's watching the Watchmen? And even though it's a story of these characters, their decisions have huge implications on the rest of the world and what the world is going to deal with and go through. So when the bomb goes off, or when the squid arrives at the end of the graphic novel, you know exactly what the stakes are, because war is present and brewing. There are these awful things that are about to happen, and this quells it. This is a sacrifice. The squid arriving and killing all these people in New York is a sacrifice to unite the world. And even though we don't see the fallout of that decision, we know what the fallout is because the graphic novel spent such, it was so specific in set laying out that if we do it this way, this is the result. And if we do it this way, this is the result. The show, there's not really any kind of ramification for anything. We don't know what it meant if Lady True really did get her powers. Would the world seriously be fucked? Would she do a good job? We don't know. She seemed psycho at the end, so maybe she would have screwed everybody over, but all of her work up until that point had been great. I'm not advocating for her, but the show, I don't think, did enough a good enough job convincing us she would have abused the power in the way that they feared that she would. And then again, with Angela, maybe getting Dr. Manhattan's powers at the end, like that final shot of her stepping her toe on the water, and is she going to walk on water? Is she the new Dr. Manhattan? Maybe, but what the fuck does it matter? we have no idea what that would mean to her and for her and what she would do with that power. Is she just going to continue being a cop but know where the crimes are committed before they're committed? And she can't do anything about it regardless. Is she still going to be a mother? Will she abandon her kids now because she has this power? Who knows? We don't know shit about Angela's goals with this power and what that means for her. So the fact that she ends up with it has almost no heft, depth, meaning. It connects her to Cal or Dr. Manhattan in a way that's kind of beautiful. I don't know if you could start to make the argument that there are themes of race and what it means then that this woman, who's a black woman in America, gets the power that these racists wanted and what that means for the future. I think you could start to build an argument that it's showing that the power for the future in America comes not from white conservative group that has held power, but from minorities and others, and other genders, not just the male gender, being able to shape the future and have the power to shape the future. That's a cool message. I like that message. But then at the same time, just looking at the plots and what is happening in the story and the character of Angela, we don't know shit about Angela in terms of what the powers mean to her. So on the one hand, good idea. On the other hand, horrible execution in terms of what it means to the character. Ah, I'm just repeating myself now, but I get so bent out of shape about this stuff. So I think that's the thing too. Like the first handful of episodes, we're still staying with building up thematic depth and character depth. And then by the end, it just felt like all plot to me. All characterization ended. All thematics ended, and not in a good way, just thrown out the window. Like, okay, we did it, bye-bye. like, looking at Looking Glass, his whole character arc was this PTSD from being near New York City when the squid dropped. So Ozymandias is the embodiment of the thing that caused him this pain. This is the guy that's responsible for sending him into a tailspin for so much of his life. What's the resolution there? He hits Ozymandias in the back of the head with a wrench and arrests him. Is that good enough? It feels almost cartoony to me. Like, oh, got the guy, like a Scooby-Doo episode. That's not the seriousness or the heft that I think that story deserved. And it's certainly like a boring way for Ozymandias to go down. And you might argue that's irony. There's irony in that. There's comedy in that. I don't see it or find it. To me, it's just pretty lame. And I'm not against lame. I think you could do something that's in that vein that works. I just don't think that's it. To me, it screams of, we ran out of time and don't know what else to do, so let's just put a bow on it and move forward. And you might be thinking, Chris, you're being harsh. There's going to be a second season. They'll have plenty of time to address all of these things. Except at this point, no. Lindelof said that as far as he's concerned, this is it. That's it. That's the show. He's done. He's not going to continue with it. HBO might, but I'm almost positive HBO, a few months after Lindelof said that, just announced that they weren't going to do anything more with it. The one season was the one season. So it's, to me, a perfect example of something that has a great start but has no fucking idea where it's going and ends up in a place that's purely plot logistics and wraps things up way too fast without the meaningful characterization or catharsis that we really need in a work that is deserving of greatest of all time or a masterpiece, which The Leftovers is deserving of. But just when I thought Lindelof had brought it all together and really was going to be the guy that could take television to a place that it hadn't yet gone, in that direction of weirdness and cinematic and getting at these human emotions in such a beautiful and strange way, Nah, again, he is almost there, but not there. And so those are my thoughts on Watchmen, the HBO show. If you want to support the podcast, if you're on YouTube, the easiest way is just to like, subscribe, or comment. Any of those three things lets YouTube know that people are enjoying this and they show it to others. If you're listening on the podcast, then just leaving a review or subscribing also goes a long way in telling those platforms that people are enjoying this content, which helps with maybe getting featured, moving up the charts. That level of engagement is meaningful. So thank you very much for listening. If you have any requests, you can hit me up on newschoolchris@gmail.com, at newschoolchris or at Kanye Podcast on Twitter. You can also just leave a comment for any requests, thoughts, questions on any of the episodes that I have recorded. So until next time, I'm Chris, and this has been Chris.